Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by today. A friend of mine emailed me some information about a new Florida law against bullying that is in the works. I wanna share that with all of you, but first I'd like to say that we've talked about this at length, and there is the general consensus that laws in regard to bullying aren't very helpful. And when I read through this, some of them make sense, but, you know, following through on laws like this is what's difficult. As you know, one of our past guests, Izzy Kalman, who is the director of Bullies to Buddies, he talks about the fact that we need to teach our kids how to overcome the bullying in regard to, you know, how they stand up for themselves and how they handle themselves. And even with that, we've had a lot of discussion in regard to the fact that sometimes that doesn't work. We've even had some people on the show who kind of took offense to the fact that we were trying to make it seem like somehow it was their responsibility to make another person behave properly. And, of course, that wasn't our intent, although I can see how somebody feels that way about what we suggested. But at the end of the day, it really is up to you as to how other people treat you. Whether you're talking about a relationship, as in spousal relationship, friend relationship, coworker relationship, what you put out there, you normally get back. And just being a pushover for people who have a bullying personality isn't the answer. I mean, it might keep everything copacetic so that you don't get picked on to any great degree, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about turning the ground into a more level ground. And I still believe that that's the way to work this. I do, however, understand that that's not so easy to accomplish. I think I shared with all of you something out of my own personal life in regard to being ganged up on and bullied in a workplace where for many, many years I was chief cook and bottle washer. And all of a sudden I have all these people that I actually interviewed and hired who actually turned against me for various reasons. And I don't want to go into the politics of all that, but I confronted all of them. And I asked them kind of what Izzy suggested that we ask the bullies in our lives today, even in 6th grade, 7th grade, 5th grade, wherever it's happening to you. And I said, what's your problem? I'm the only reason you have a job. What did I do to all of you to get you to be so, mean? And I didn't get very many good answers. I got a lot of hymns and haws, and I don't know what you're talking about, and I never said this, and I never said that. In other words, they lied. And I think that's what's going to happen to you if you confront somebody. But what really happens is if you don't change the other person, you bring yourself to another level. That's the whole idea. You lift yourself up out of that victim mode, and you turn the tables, even if it's just a little bit, you displace your bullies. I hope everybody understands that. I hope you get the idea that when you stand your ground and turn around and look at somebody and say, What is your problem? What did I do to you? Have I hurt you somehow? And make them come up for a reason why they're being a jerk. In a lot of cases, they can't. The three people I confronted were all intelligent, capable people. And yet, when they were called on the table, they couldn't give me any kind of real reasoning, any real legitimate cause for discord, nothing. So one of them turned to screaming at me. And I stood up and said, you're not going to scream at me. And then everybody else calmed the other person down, and I sat back down again. But it turned the tables to a point where I at least felt like I had done something for Rini. And sometimes that's the best you can do. And, of course, I chose to get away from there eventually. But the whole point is that you have to get out of victim mode. And whatever that means to you, it's something you have to do for yourself. I can't do it for you. I can't go to school and tell kids not to pick on my kids. I can't go to school and tell other kids not to pick on my grandchildren. We all get that. We all get that it makes the matters worse. Then pretty soon you're fighting with other parents, and it snowballs into something that doesn't need to be. And I realize, governmentally speaking and politically speaking, that everybody realizes that this is a problem, so they're trying to come up with guidelines as to how they can fix it. I don't know that they can fix it this way, but I do think it's a good idea to have protocol in place if certain acts of bullying are repetitive in different schools, if you have a young person who is mean and disorderly, the young woman that we talked about last week. I've been searching the internet to see if there's any more stories about the young woman who attacked the girl and gave her a fractured skull, and the judge said she couldn't come to any of the schools, and then the superintendent, you know, flipped that and said she was her right to go to school, etc. I'm sure you all remember the story. I don't know that rules are going to help a situation like that. And I still believe that a child that goes around beating up other girls and having other people recorded on their cell phones needs help. There's no way as an adult, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, that I believe anything different than that. But I also don't think it's the job of another child to be a part of that training. I don't think another child should have to bite the dust because we're trying to decide what to do with somebody who doesn't want to fit into society the way they're supposed to. So we're going to read these new laws. It's interesting, but I do, and I get that they finally get how snowballed this has become. I'm going to bring Shelley in so we can comment as we go through this. Good morning, Shelley.
Oh, sorry, I've got to take you off mute.
Okay, you're there. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read these. This is something that was sent. This has not happened yet. This is, I belong to a site called change.org, and a few of my other friends do too. So I got this myself, and then another person sent it to me. So I do think it's important for us to know what's going on, and some of this is good, and some of it is isn't probably going to do a damn thing. But we're going to go over it. It is anti-bullying month, so I figured we'd finish out this week and see what's going on out there to make things a little bit better. Although Florida has an anti-bullying law in place, it's done little to actually stop bullying in Florida schools. As a student in the Florida public school system for 7 years, I have seen this firsthand. I attended 2 A-rated elementary schools, an A-rated middle school, and a high school where I was in the IB program, all in Hillsborough County. At every school, I saw many instances of horrible bullying, and was also a victim. Each of these schools was state-required, has a state-required anti-bullying policy in place. But as far as what I have seen, it is absolutely not effective. After my freshman year of high school, my family moved to Ridgewood, New Jersey for a year. Both my middle school-aged brother and I saw a huge difference in the atmosphere of the schools. There was no bullying, none. It was a much more positive and safe learning environment. This is because New Jersey has the toughest anti-bullying law in the country. It is called the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act and has been in place since the 2011 school year in all New Jersey schools. Some of the main points of this bill include: it provides a clear, concrete definition of bullying, also adding that it includes incidents off of school grounds. I think that's incredibly important. That in itself, and I don't know, this article doesn't tell me how far off school grounds. It doesn't tell me if it means anything that happens within a school day or weekends, but I would assume it's only like after school walking home or before school walking to school, but it could be even stricter than that. States that harassment, intimidation, and bullying are grounds for suspension and expulsion. It requires teachers and anyone who witness or is told of an incident of bullying to report it to the principal verbally the day of, give them a written report within 2 days. Any teacher or administrator that does not report an incident they know of is subject to disciplinary action. Now, let's touch base on that whole sentence. It's doing something very important here in my eyes. For what that's worth to everybody, we're putting the responsibility back on the adult. And I personally like that. And if you've been listening to the show for the past almost year now, you know that we've talked at length about situations where teachers have almost turned a blind eye and, in some very horrible cases, participated in the bullying of another child. And nothing has happened to them. After receiving the report, the principal must tell both families of the children involved in the incident. Within 1 school day of the report, the school's anti-bullying specialist must begin the investigation, which must be completed within 10 days of the incident. Then the report of the investigation is given to the superintendent within 2 days of the investigation being finished. He or she provides an intervention service, imposes punishment, orders counseling, or anything else they see fit. The superintendent must give the report to the school board at its first meeting following the investigation, as well as the actions of a punishment that's taken. At the next board meeting, they give a written decision affirming, rejecting, or modifying the superintendent's decision. Okay, so this tells us that there's lots of adults involved, not one all by themselves. It's a real a democratic procedure where everybody is going to have a say and not just one person reigns supreme, which of course is the perfect scenario. Requires that twice a year school districts submit reports on harassment, intimidation, and bullying to the public and the Department of Education. That data is used to grade the schools and districts on how effectively safe they are. The grade is required to be posted on the school district's website. I think that's good too. Requires training for all public school staff members on harassment, intimidation, and bullying in suicide prevention. That's another comment that needs to be discussed a little bit more at length. Exactly, I know that the kids know they have hotlines for suicide prevention, but this weekend I had a long talk with my one granddaughter who again, if you've listened, know she's pretty outspoken about things like that, and we discussed this at length. And she goes to a high school a little bit further south than West Palm Beach. It's more like near Davie, that vicinity. And she says that you have to make an appointment to see any kind of administrative staff, a vice principal, which is what they get called a lot, the counselors, anybody to report something that's going on in your life. You have to make an appointment. You can't just walk in the office. And once you make the appointment, it's not always honored. A lot of times you go because you have an appointment and there's nobody there because they didn't read their roster or they got called away to something else. So she said to me, Graham, what if I feel like I'm at the end of my rope and I want to hurt myself? And I said, that's a really, really good point, a valid point. I said, is there a particular person that's in charge of those kind of feelings, somebody who's a little bit more into perhaps mental health instead of administrative work? And she goes, I don't know if any of them are, you know, trained to take care of mental stuff, you know, like if a kid is emotionally upset or crying all the time because something's going on in their family or something like that. But the point is if they're at that point and they finally walk back there and they can't see anybody, what are they supposed to do? Good point. Very, 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 very good point. Each teacher is required at least 2 hours of instruction on the subject. 2 hours of instruction. Includes public institutes of higher education. It requires them to adopt a policy prohibiting harassment, intimidation, and bullying that clearly outlines disciplinary actions. It must be emailed to every student within 7 days of the start of each semester and be posted on the school's website. It requires each principal must appoint a staff member as the school's anti-bullying specialist. The law allows this individual to be the school's guidance counselor, psychologist, or someone with a similar role. If the school does not have one of those, the principal has to appoint another already employed staff member. Requires the superintendent to appoint a district anti-bullying coordinator. This person will work with school coordinators, coordinate the anti-bullying prevention policies, and file the reports within the Department of Education. It requires each school anti-bullying specialist to chair a school safety team that's purpose is to develop, foster, and maintain a positive school climate. The team consists of the principal, a teacher in the school, a parent of a student in the school, and others appointed by the principal. It is also required that the teams are provided with professional development opportunities that address other schools' effective programs and approaches. Establishes a week of respect beginning on the first Monday of October every year. Schools are directed to have an age-appropriate instruction focused on preventing harassment, intimidation, and bullying. There is a summary of the bill on a website, which I will post on my Facebook page today, so people can check it out. The current Florida law does very little in comparison to this. This past year, the Florida law was amended to address cyberbullying, yet a 12-year-old girl in Lakeland recently committed suicide after being cyberbullied and the girls at fault have not been punished. As of right now, the law is not harsh enough. To learn more about the current anti-bullying law in Florida, go to this link. I'll have all these links on my page. I, as a junior in high school, still see bullying every day in Florida. It is sad and pathetic that this continues because of ineffective laws. After moving back, it has become my mission to change this for the better. The Jeffrey Johnson Stand Up for All Students Act has good intentions, but clearly does not do enough. If Florida adopts the anti-bullying bill of Rights Act, it will make a difference in every single child's educational experience and life in this state. So you have an opportunity to sign this petition which I would urge you to do. And as I said, once I have the site on my Facebook page, so now you, those of you who are listening and are concerned about this kind of stuff will understand what this is about. A lot of times we see stuff like this and we think we'll get back to it later, and we don't. This is important. And I don't know, I wish I did, that this is the true answer. I suspect that the answers are going to be many to suit the circumstance. Like everything in this life, you have to, you know, it's, well, I'll say it again, it's not one size fits all, and that goes for any kind of law that comes into being. Suits some situations and does not suit others. I think the point here is that we have to start making sure that the kids feel safe and making sure that the kids who have ulterior motives don't feel safe, don't feel safe enough to do what they think they should be able to get away with, don't feel safe enough to harass another child because they're smaller or less aggressive than they are. Don't feel safe to set up an opportunity to beat up another kid and let everybody watch and take pictures. That's one of the things that we have to change as well. Making sure other people feel safe and protected does one other thing, and that's making the aggressive ones, the perpetrators, the bullies, make feel unsafe to be able to perpetrate the acts that they plan out. Again, I don't think that, I mean, think of this scenario. There's a beautiful 14-year-old girl sitting at home, and she's fighting with her mother and her father, and mother and father are fighting with each other, and home is completely in discord, which has happened to all of us. Not unusual, a part of life. But this child is at a place where they can't deal with it. So what do? It makes them feel very mean. So they go out and take it out on somebody else. So they're not, I don't think that they spend their life doing that, but I think dealing with the things that happen to all of us, even those of us that are adults, we have to learn how to remap the way we feel about getting rid of those bad feelings. And hurting somebody else really shouldn't be a part of that thought process. I have spent time with young people and old people. Remember, I ran a bar for 2 years. And people that are struggling in their home life or their job or anything, they have a little bit to drink and they become Mighty Mouse. And they want to fight the first person that looks at them sideways. All of that has been around forever. And it's all about turning those feelings of anger and frustration someplace else, not directed at another person that probably has nothing to do with why you're so upset or angry. So if we have people, though, watching and paying attention and really trained as to what to look for, there's a chance that we can make this better. There's a chance that we can get it so that the kids feel safe again in the schools. There's an opportunity here to open doors that aren't being opened right now. Just like my granddaughter said, Graham, you have to make an appointment. And she was like blown away by that. For her, that was like, they tell us all through school, all through grade school, tell somebody the minute something happens, go and tell somebody. And she said, now, here I am in high school, and I have to make an appointment, and it might not be for several days before I can get in to see this person. And I said, well, something's wrong with that. There's definitely something wrong with that. So let's talk about this at length. Shell, what do you think about all these laws?
Well, I think that first of all, I like the laws because I like the fact that there's training involved. that they want to have a teacher, a parent, and the principal all as like the hub of this program. So I like the fact that they're getting different viewpoints. I think that having some laws in place, I don't think laws themselves necessarily, bring about the change. The fact that the law exists will make those bullies that are like on the edge, some of them that can exert some self-control because they don't want to suffer some consequence, will monitor their behavior more. So I think a law like that could probably do away with the vast majority of bullying. There's always going to be those kids that are so angry or dysfunctional that consequences have no, have no impact on them. But for the most people, it will keep them in line. And having things like, what do they call that in the beginning of October, a day of respect? What did they call that? You know what I'm talking about? The They're learning. You know which one I'm talking about? They said in October each year they wanted to have a week or a day of respect or something like that. I think programs like that are good to teach mutual respect to the differences in each other. They didn't go into that much detail, but I'm thinking that's what they're talking about, you know, being respectful of people that are different than you and that kind of thing. I think there's a lot of positive things that can come out of this bill. I don't think this bill is the only fix that should be put in place, but I think once it's implemented completely with the training and everything else, I think it's going to make a big difference. One of the things I like very much about that bill is what you just commented on, the fact that it's putting so much responsibility back on the adults in there. So a teacher is not going to be permitted now to look the other way and ignore situations when a student's told her that something's happened, told her or him that something's happened. That makes me think about women that were battered. If you remember decades ago, if a woman was beaten up by her husband, police really didn't take it very seriously. And it was very difficult for a woman who was being abused to get any help from the police. And then that one woman who was stabbed and kicked by her husband, she didn't die, but she was crippled for the rest of her life, fought and got a law passed that the police had to take action. Whether the woman was willing to press charges against her husband or not, the police department was responsible for following through. So this way, if a man injured, was arrested for that, he was brought to justice anyway, whether the woman brought the charges. So this way, it wasn't up to the victim anymore of standing up to her perpetrator. If a police officer witnessed a man attacking a woman, he had to be arrested, whether the woman was willing to press charges or not. That really turned the tide there, because now the climate in the police department and amongst police officers totally changed, and police became very intolerant of physical abuse from a man to a woman. And so it really made it easier for women to get assistance there. But if you remember, there was a time that women could be battered for years and then finally killed, and they really couldn't get any assistance from the police. So I see kind of the same thing happening here, where now the seriousness of this is being addressed, and teachers are being told this isn't a petty thing, this isn't a normal part of going to school, especially the way bullying is done now, and it's not something you can ignore. If a student brings this to your attention, now you have the responsibility of doing something, or you can suffer some consequence of not following through. So those are the things I like about that bill.
Yeah. Well, and it's what we've said all along. It's our, the adult's responsibility to keep our children safe. And if that means paying attention to those aggressive kids. I mean, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, you must have a clue if you have a child that is feeling angry. I mean, I always know when somebody in this house is feeling mean and angry and frustrated. I mean, it shows in everything they do. They pick something up and drop it, and it just pisses them off. And I'm like, geez, bend over and pick it up. You know?
Right. Like, Renee, what is this? I had gone to a, I think it was last Friday. It was in the last couple of days. The Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Office, had hosted an event at the local Target up here on State Road 7. And,
that was a week ago. Mm-hmm.
What?
That was a week ago Friday.
Right. Well, it was just a couple of days ago. So I think it was last Friday, so it was like 3 days ago. But at any rate, so I went there. I met Dawn. She goes there every year with her kids. And there was only maybe about a dozen booths. But every booth had information about bullying, teen drug use. It was all about youth counsel and about services for youth. So I stopped and I picked, by the way, I have a whole bunch of stuff for you. they have little 211 yellow pages for, it's called Youth Yellow Pages, 211. And I guess it's by county because this is the Palm Beach County edition. And it's a little pocket yellow pages. I picked up a copy for you. So I'm curious, I guess they have these for all different areas. But this is a little tiny yellow pages that a young person could have. And there's all kinds of resources in here. It's really neat. And then they
had
all kinds of...
Well, 211 is about all the time, Shel. 211 is the website that I talk about all the time. I'm aware of the yellow book.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know that they actually published little books like this that kids could pick up, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a neat idea. They had all kinds of information about bullying, about cyberbullying. They have a flyer here about being a bystander. It said if you see someone being bullied, you can help by not laughing, telling the bully to stop, not joining in, you know. So they even addressed the bystanders. It was a pretty good poster here, a small poster. But listen to this. I was kind of impressed by this because it sounds a little bit more like what Izzy Kalman teaches, and whether he realizes it or not, I guess his teachings have affected some of the publications that are out there, because a lot of this sounds like what he tries to teach. But this is put out by the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. It says bully prevention. It's a little trifold. And it says bullying has been on the rise for the past 4 years. The information provided in here is to help teenagers and children from becoming potential victims. It says in the past 4 years, bullying has been on the rise. Florida statute 1006.147 defines bullying. This is the only thing I don't agree with because of what we've talked about. Defines bullying as systematically and chronically inflicting physical hurt. And we've talked about that if there's any physical injury, that's a crime, but they're still leaving that in the statute. Physical hurt or psychological distress on one or more students and may involve the following: teasing, social exclusion, threats, intimidation, stalking, physical violence, and again, we don't agree with that, theft, sexual, religious, or racial harassment, public humiliation, or destruction of property. Sometimes bullies are dealing with, now this part of it I do like, all right, because it kind of puts a different mindset on why someone would bully. Sometimes bullies are dealing with difficult situations in their lives which cause them to take out their anger on others. Bullies don't realize how much it hurts others. Some know the pain they inflict because they have been bullied or abused themselves. This is normal behavior for them because their family life consists of anger, shouting, and name-calling. This type of bully has little or no self-esteem. Whatever the problem is in their life, they lash out at others as a way of dealing with it. They need a victim, someone that is perceived as physically or emotionally weaker, and by targeting this type of person, they gain control. They are accepted by others and feel important because they usually get that gang circling around them. Bullies come in all shapes, sizes, and ages. And then they give some tips on how to deal with it. Try not to show anger. Avoid using physical force fighting back. Stand tall, be confident, and walk away, ignoring the remark that the bully makes will many times get them to stop bothering you. Use humor whenever possible. Say something funny about yourself or tell a joke. Sometimes this will throw the bully off guard and they'll just decide to leave you alone. Look to support from parents or teachers and use the buddy system as often as possible. Develop a group of friends that will help you not appear isolated to the bully. So it was a pretty good pamphlet. And I, like I said, I was surprised that they went into so much detail about the psychology of the bully, because they really kind of hit the nail on the head in that regard, that the bully is somebody who's suffering also.
Well, and we talk about that quite a bit, but let's touch on something else that you just said, and that is the fact that the buddy system, and we've talked about that as well, it is important to have friends. It is important to have other people with you a good deal of the time. For more than those reasons, for in some instances, it's just good to have friends because it provides an awesome moral support that you may not even realize you need. So having friends with you and being a part of a group for young people is very, very healthy and very, very important to participate in that. And if you're in a place in school where you feel like you don't have anybody that's your friend, and you don't have the opportunity, and maybe school is a real war ground for you. Do you all remember the story that we told, gosh, way, way back in the beginning, about the young mom who called her girlfriends up and organized her girlfriend's kids so that all these girls had a place to be together and support each other? And to this day, they still do that, and now they do things, they organize themselves to a point where they do things for other people. They go to VA hospitals and things like that because they realize how important it is for them to be together and do things together and to support the rest of their world in a positive way. Those things are all answers that all of you can do. You know, organize something where you all get together and do nice things for other people. I have a niece right now who works for an organization that is runs adult homes for mentally handicapped adults. And she, I don't remember her expressing any real love for art as a very, very young person. But as she's gotten older, she really enjoys art. So that's what she's doing. She's pulling kids together on weekends and weeknights, her and her daughter, and they do art classes with all these kids. And these kids have learned to, that they can have other friends outside of the school and have a support system as well. So all of those things are great. And, yes, I'm aware of the 211 books, and I think they're awesome. That's why I talk about them on the show, 211 and the opportunity. I mentioned that to my granddaughter yesterday, too. Are they still talking about 211? And she said, yeah, they hand out the yellow books in her school. But, again, you need backup when you're doing things like that. That's all wonderful information, and that's great that they're doing stuff like that, but we need to make sure that there's a follow-through for the kids in regard to once they get the books that they really can turn to somebody and really ask somebody for help instead of having to make an appointment. Like I said, her school is handing out those books, but then she has to make an appointment to see a counselor. So it's a long road, you know. But I think in most cases, Florida, very sadly, because we live here and I love it here, I love Florida, has the worst record for the bullying, for the gang-related crimes, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of people, I'm sure, would assume it was New Jersey. But when I first read this, I was like, you know, I kind of knew that. I've had other people tell me that the northern schools are better in regard to the bullying and things like that, that there's a safer atmosphere, that the kids have more rules and regulations, and there's more people keeping an eye on things. Of course, this brings us back to what we talked last week about police property, you know.
Well, this publication, this little pamphlet that I read from is from this year. It's from 2013, and it, the very first sentence says bullying has been on the rise in the past 4 years. So if it's on the rise for 4 years straight, then obviously that means there's something wrong. And the fact that that they've made that assessment and now are doing something about it, at least it's a positive shift in the right direction, finally. But but yeah, we have been in dire straits here. There hasn't been much attention on it until now. And unfortunately, it surprises me that it takes such dire tragedies to finally get people's attention, that the people in power didn't see that this was an inevitability based on some of the lesser incidences. I mean, there were incidences where children didn't use their lives. Look what happened to Mikey. That was, what, 4 years ago now? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. October 12th was 4 years.
Right, 4 years. Okay. So that happened 4 years ago. And then there were incidences within weeks and months of that happening to Mikey, and still there was no active participation to make dramatic changes until now. So, you know, after what happened to Mikey and then happened to some of the other young people that we talked about, the girl that was kicked in the head and all that, Ratley, right?
Yeah.
But at any rate, you know, so those incidences happened, and yet there wasn't much, the individual incidences were talked about, but it wasn't talked about, you know, how the situations were handled and how to move forward and things like that. So I'm glad to see that now, after all these years, although, again, like I said, my main thing is that I don't understand why it always takes such drastic incidences. Like when I was talking about the changes with women that were being battered, that poor, I mean, many women were actually killed by their husbands. And the one woman that made the changes was a survivor, because she actually sued the police department for not coming to her aid, because she had called several times. And the police officer that showed up that day was not trained properly and stood there and watched her husband almost kill her, and was afraid to restrain the man, didn't know how to deal with it. So she was the one who really got a lot of those laws. But again, here it was somebody that had to step up and say, you're a police officer, you can't stand by and allow this to happen anymore, you know. But how many women lost their lives before that happened to be? So I'm glad that it's happening, but I'm just, my only frustration about this is, why does it take such dire incidences before people realize that they have to step up and take more responsibility?
Well, and there's another thing, and I could be wrong in saying this, but it is a feeling I have. Once somebody's gone, too late. It's really too late. So why is it much attention gets discussed, everything gets rehashed, and like this young girl that took her own life? We've talked about many, 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 many young children that have taken their own lives. Not just one or two or three or ten, many.
Right.
In the interim, there's still all these kids out there that are being, that are just being harassed, and nobody is paying any attention. And that's
right.
What throws me. Once somebody is gone, yes, remembering them and still loving them and everything is a part of life as we know it. But it's too late to help them now. You got to help the ones that are still here, the brothers and sisters of those kids. It's not death. It's the end. I mean, unless you believe in the other stuff like you and I kind of do. But, I mean, it's the end of things as we know it. And in the meantime, you've got all these kids that are suffering on a lesser level but are right here waiting for us to do something about it for them. That bothers me more than anything. Like my granddaughter said yesterday, she says, Graham, what if I wanted to hurt myself? What if I was one of these girls that cuts themselves and I was right at that point and somebody's been talking to me and I know I shouldn't do that, but if I don't talk to somebody right now, that's what I'm going to do, and nobody will see me. It's a good point, huh? I mean, you know, what are they?
That is an excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really understanding the whole necessity for an appointment when it's an urgent situation. I can see making an appointment with, like, a guidance counselor because you need to decide what courses you're taking, you know, like if you're in high school or something. I mean, that's there for just general counseling. But when you have a situation that's an emergency or that has some urgency to it, there should be no appointment required for that. You should be able to walk into the principal's office, you know, into the front office and say, look, I need to speak to somebody now, and get someone to talk to you, you know, like within the hour. You know, sit down, calm down, we'll get somebody, you know, just in case, you know, they could all be busy talking to other people. But the bottom line is it has to be within a short amount of time, not the next day or 2 days later. You know, yes, I don't quite understand that either. A little dysfunctional.
So maybe what would help is if they actually put counselors for trauma, emergency, put a special title with somebody who can see anybody anytime, whenever.
Yeah.
I mean, we both know that I believe in open door policies and that people should be allowed to talk when they need to talk. Sometimes if you make a kid wait too long, they've already moved on to something else, and they never empty themselves of that particular trauma, which adds to their problem. So if you can't talk when you're 15, when you're ready, you may never talk.
Right.
And
right.
That's
the thing.
A
lot of times they talk themselves out of it. They sit there, and the urgency of the moment has passed, and then they decide not to say anything to anybody, which compounds the problem. In fact, that's another thing. I didn't read the whole pamphlet, but that's another thing this pamphlet says, is that, you know, don't keep it to yourself. You know, keeping it to yourself and not talking, not finding at least one other person to share it with, will actually make the situation work worse for you. You have to find someone, whether it's a friend or a parent or a teacher, you have to find someone to share this with, so that you can start getting support for what you're going through. And the pamphlet actually talks about that too, which is something that we've discussed. The other thing I like about this law, although I heard you react to it, because I reacted to it also, I like the fact that they're going to be talking about suicide prevention and things like that. But what I reacted to is when they said that each person on this committee that they want to develop has to go through about 2 hours of training. And although I, on one hand, I'm happy to hear they're going through training, but 2 hours sounds quite inadequate to me for the complexity of all the different things they're going to be learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, plus that, I think any kind of training like that has to be ongoing. It can't be something that you do and then you got it all. Because every time a new situation arises, everybody that sits in a seat of decision and power should be enlightened as to what took place most recently and how it was handled and what was right about it and what was wrong about it. I agree. I think that's not something that can be done in 2 hours. That made me laugh. Even though I'm happy to hear anything along those lines, it still was like, it's pretty insufficient in my eyes. But I'm glad that they've made it a part of the guidelines and the rules. And I'm hoping that everybody signs this so there are some changes made. I think that we still have a long road to go. I don't think that it's something that's going to happen overnight, even with new rules, because then you have to do the follow-through. And in most cases and in most scenarios, that's when we screw up. Is on the follow-through. It's not the decisions to make things different. It's the follow-through where things get, either drop the ball or jump off the path or whatever kind of terminology you want to call it. We don't continue on because we think we're not doing any good, so we quit, or we just get lazy and we quit. Or we decide we're not important enough and we're not making a big enough difference, so we quit. There's a multitude of reasons why people don't follow through. I'm infamous for diets. I didn't lose 10 pounds this week, so the hell with it. I'm going to have ice cream and fudge. So we all have excuses for everything we do. This is too important to have that many excuses. We really, really have to follow through with something to make the world a safer place. And I think schools and the fact that we've talked about this in the very beginning, our children leave our doors in the morning. It's our job to keep them safe when they're here. It's other people's job to keep them safe when they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And very sadly, we know that some homes aren't safe. We know that some kids are hurt more at home than we get all that. But walking into the personal home of somebody intervening is one thing. Walking into a public school and making rules and laws and protocol is another. That should
right.
be available in every way, shape, and form. You know where else there's a lot of harmful bullying going on is in malls.
Oh, yeah. True.
You know, I mean, if you go to the mall on a Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to say 40%, well, maybe not that much, 30% of the crowds in a nice, good, upscale mall is kids. And they're just there hanging out. They're just there to see who they're going to run into. They check out their favorite stores. They look and see who's wearing what. And all of those things are fodder for bullying.
Right.
The kid who bought his shoes at Champs and all the other sports places where sneakers cost you $160 versus the kid whose mom just went into Penny's and bought their sneakers is going to get picked on. Sad as that sounds, he's going to get picked on. She's going to get picked on. So the mall is another place where we need to keep an eye on what's going on. And usually in a mall, what is there? Even on a two-floor mall, a sprawling mall like Wellington Mall, how many security guards are there, would you guess, Shel?
I don't know how many they're supposed to have. I rarely ever see a security guard. I mean, if I walk the mall, I may see one or two for the entire building. I don't know if there's more than that, but I never really see more than that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever have either. I don't think I've ever seen more than one or two. One at one end, one of the entrances, like over by Penny's, and then way up on the hill when you get up into some of the furniture stores and Lord and Taylor mm-hmm. and all those. There's usually another one, but I don't see a lot just walking around either.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I that the mall can start something on a weekend that snowballs into Monday at school.
Exactly.
So,
yep. And I've actually seen that a couple of times where you see quarrels start out between young people. You know, I actually had this was years ago. I was at the Palm Beach Mall that's out on Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard. And a young girl threw her garbage. We were at the food court. She threw her garbage right on the floor and went to walk away. And I looked at her. I mean, I was an adult at the time. And I looked at her and I said, "You're just going to leave that there?" I said, "Somebody could walk by here. I mean, where's your food?" She accidentally knocked it on the floor, looked at it, and just got up and went to walk away with her friend. So I said something to her. It pissed me off. And she turned and she started pressing me like her and her friends were going to physically attack me, and I started laughing. And I said, "Really? You know, like you're threatening me? Like you're gonna throw down over cleaning up your mess?" And so I just came back at her, and it because I didn't get fearful of her, and because there was like five of them, because I showed no fear, she didn't know what to do with that. I guess her and her friends were used to intimidating people and just threatening them and getting them to walk away. So I called the security guard over, and they came up. They got somebody to wash the area up. I mean, but it was a lot of soda, and somebody would have gotten injured. It just pissed me off that they were going to walk away. But this girl just threatened me. Instead of just cleaning up what she threw down on the floor, she got offended that I made a comment about it and felt that was justification for her and her friends to do something. Now, if there hadn't been a security guard around, or if I hadn't come back the way I did, I really believe that they would have accosted me, that because their stance was like they were ready to physically attack me. And that to me, that was funny. But I can imagine that other people wouldn't have thought it was funny, especially when you have five, because they weren't little kids. They were teenagers. They were like 16 years old. So a couple of them were taller than me. But it angered me and made me think it was funny at the same time, you know. But I've seen violence at the mall where I've actually seen two kids, you know, get into it right there. And a lot of times it broke up on its own and a security guard never even showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the mall is a place like that. When I was a kid, the beach was like that. Age 11 until almost 17, I lived in Miami. And the beach was a very, very big gathering place for teenagers. I think more so than it is today, honestly. And if there would be, and of course those were the years, the 60s, early 60s, when there was a lot of racial stuff going on, and a lot of stuff would happen on the beach when I was young. But there was always, always policemen on the beach. Things usually didn't get too far, although in other parts of the world, of course, in the early 60s, there was lots of violence and things going on in regard to race and segregation and all those kind of things. So it was a very unrestful time then. But I remember on the beach, because I'm not into violence. I wasn't when I was young either, and I would avoid it at all costs. But I also went to lots of dances where there was lots of kids, and it was not unusual for there to be a fight towards the end of the night. And but there was always somebody there to break it up, and it never snowballed into anything that caused any permanent harm. But I do think that there's lots of places where we need to keep this under control. I hope that the schools really do change some of the laws, and I hope that there's follow-through. Changing the laws doesn't mean a damn thing, like I said, unless they're really going to do it and follow through on it. Paperwork doesn't mean anything if it's just sitting in somebody's desk. So,
is there a deadline for signing this petition that you were talking about, Rainey?
Not that I see. Not that I see. I'll post it as soon as the show's over this morning, because I have it in an email and I can just post it on. And but I didn't see anything that tells me there's any kind of a deadline. No, I didn't see anything like that. So we'll see. The person or organization who started this petition is not affiliated with Change.org. Change.org did not create this petition and is not responsible for the petition content. So it is something that can be signed right away. So I apologize to whoever just called in. I don't recognize your number, so I'm not going to open up the line anyway. So I want to wish everybody a wonderful Monday. Looks like it's going to be fairly nice. It's supposed to be very muggy and hot here in South Florida. I know all of you northern friends are angry when I say that, because some of you are struggling with bad weather already. So everybody have a great and we'll be back tomorrow. Michelle, I will call you in a few minutes after the show.
Perfect.
Okay. So good luck out there, everybody. Have a wonderful day. God bless, and talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Have a wonderful day.